Hi, this is Mark Cuniberti. You're about to listen to another edition of our award-winning economic show entitled Money Matters. The information given on this show is obtained from a variety of public sources and is deemed accurate at time of airing but is not guaranteed. This show is pre-recorded at an earlier date, so market indices and related stock market references may not be accurate at time of airing, and we will not be taking any listener call-ins. Thanks again for listening. Now enjoy the show.
And welcome to the 270th edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only, or the opinions of any guests I may have on the show. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, the station, its staff members, or underwriters. The show today is the 217th edition, entitled A Senator and a District Attorney. I'm here in the studio with Miss Jen Ayala. Good afternoon, Jen. Thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here. Hi, everybody.
And we're going to be interviewing, all things go right, God willing, Senator Ted Gaines, and then both candidates for the District Attorney. District Attorney candidate Glenn Jennings, and also Assistant DA from the Cliff Newell campaign, Mr. Chris Walsh. So we're going to wait for Senator Gaines to log in today. And I'd like to welcome everybody. So what's going on in the markets, right? That's kind of what we do here, talking about the markets. And we'll pull up the Yahoo Finance, and we're still bouncing around. Bounce around in the mid-24,000s, right? Yeah, we're at 24,726, down 42. And we're kind of right in the middle there. Remember these big numbers below us, 24,000, which is under 24,725 as a support level. And the resistance level above us is 25,000. So far, we're kind of right in the middle. I think the high was 26,616 on the Dow, and the low was 23,530, I believe, somewhere in there. So not much really going on. The market's kind of flat, but we'll see, right? We'll see what happens. And so, our website is moneymanagementradio.com. You can check out the website. Everything on the website is free today. So, Jen, we've got some issues today that we're going to talk to the senators about, at least Senator Ted Gaines. So why don't you give an idea of the four issues that we're going to try to ask him in the time that we have?
Yes, we don't have a whole lot of time, but some of the things that we want to talk about are the permanent gas tax bill that was just passed, and the senator's take on that. And also having California as a sanctuary state, there was a bill that he proposed that ended up not passing that we want to talk about. I know there's a couple of things that you wanted to talk about, Mark.
Yeah, we're going to talk about 529 plan deductions. I support that. I have a 529. We'll talk about that. And then a tax bill to reduce taxes. So Senator Ted Gaines is coming in on the line now. And you're live on the air with Money Matters. Hold on a minute. See? And you're live on the air?
Yes, Senator Ted Gaines. This is Mark.
Is this Senator Ted Gaines?
Yes.
Hi, Senator. Thanks for joining us today. You're in the studio here, sitting next to Jen Ayala.
Hello, Senator. It's wonderful to talk to you.
So thanks for spending.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for spending the time. And I also wanted to say that my son, who you gave a Senate internship, Kyle, says hello. He was really thrilled that you were going to be on the show today.
Wonderful. Great.
Okay. So we're going to talk about four items real quick. We got about 20 minutes. We wanted to cover the tax bill to reduce taxes. So tell us a little bit about your input with that and some feedback on that.
Oh, yeah, you bet. So if you take a look at taxation in the state of California, we are either the highest taxed or amongst the highest taxed in the nation. And so I'm trying to come up with ideas that can provide some relief for Californians. And one bill in particular is my 529 college savings plans. And so what we're doing is setting up a plan so that you can actually make the deduction in the state of California. Currently, you can take a deduction for federal taxes for money that's put into a 529 plan. But that is not the case at the state level. And so we've been working on that legislation. We've got it out of its first committee, and it's headed to appropriations next. So I'm just trying to, we're trying to figure out ways that can provide a little relief, that it's very difficult to afford college. Tuition costs continue to rise. And if we can provide some deductibility for money that's set aside for a college fund, hopefully you end up with college graduates that have less debt or hopefully even no debt.
Now, there's a lot more in this tax bill besides just the 529, right? And I would imagine you are getting some opposition from different sides of the aisle on this.
Oh, yeah. I've been working on others, other pieces of legislation, standard deduction, so that if you are making income in the state of California, you can take an additional $1,500 deductible as an individual and a $3,000 deductible for a joint filer. And we got resistance on that bill. We had another one that dealt with the budget surplus in terms of declaring a tax rebate, and that if you've overcharged or if the state of California has overcharged you in terms of the number of taxes it needs to satisfy its budget, that money ought to go back to the taxpayer. And so it's kind of like paying your utility bill. If you overpaid your utility bill, you get a credit or a refund check for that. And this surplus continues to grow. The latest estimate is approximately $9 billion. And I just believe
we have a surplus,
huh? Funded budget. Yeah.
Wow. there is a God.
It's interesting because it's we've got extra cash this year, but we still have huge challenges in the future. And I've worked hard on trying to get reform in other areas. We've got a huge pension obligation that we need to be looking at, but I think that's going to be fixed as a result of bringing the parties together and saying this is not sustainable. We need to sit down and figure out how pensions can be paid in the future without breaking the bank for the state of California.
And real quick, the opposition, obviously is against tax breaks, et cetera, et cetera. So real quickly, just tell our listeners, what's the thinking there for people that are against that?
Well, I think they would say that there's a lot of needs in the state of California that are unmet, and that money ought to be used for providing additional programs to Californians or a myriad of other ideas. I think you could almost go to any legislator's office and they would have an idea on how we could spend more money. I would say that's on the majority side because I try to work with my colleagues to see if we can actually reduce the taxation level and reduce the size of government. But that is not the majority view. And so they would tell you that there's always a need. And one thing that I've learned that's been very clear, and I believed it when I entered the legislature, but there's never enough tax money. There's never enough money to satisfy our needs, and therefore we need to look for opportunities to charge you an additional fee or an additional tax in order to satisfy their agenda. So we've seen that more recently with the gas tax, and that's something that I fought from day one, and people are very unhappy about having to pay an additional 12 cents for gasoline, 20 cents for diesel, and their vehicle registration fees are going up anywhere from $25 to $175 based on the value of the car.
Yeah, so this gas tax is pretty interesting. So this is something that did pass Senate Bill number 1, and I know that you did not support this, and it puts a permanent gas tax. And could you talk about the effects that has on our community here locally?
Well, I think it's very difficult in the local community, and I've got a lot of, looking at my Senate district, I've got a lot of rural area in my Senate district. I've got a lot of my constituents who are having to travel long distances to get to and from work. So when you increase their gas tax, you're just gobbling up more of their disposable income that they could use to buy books for their children or buy clothing or make a payment on a car or whatever that goal is, that need is. So it's there's a lot of angst throughout the state. There is an initiative moving forward to reverse it. I've been supportive of the initiative. They've gathered 900,000 signatures. They need 750,000 valid signatures for that to go on the ballot. And I'm hoping that they're successful. And if they are, it'll be on the November ballot.
Okay, the November ballot. Yes. The other thing that I was looking forward to asking you was for you to talk about your Senate Bill 2119, which is regarding California as a sanctuary state. Could you talk to our listeners about this proposed bill that you had and the effect that has on our community?
Yeah, that I proposed the legislation. It failed in committee. But I just feel that there ought to be respect between local, state, and federal law, and that I believe that the sanctuary state law is actually unconstitutional, that the state of California does not have the authority to determine border or immigration issues. That's a federal issue that needs to be resolved at the federal level. And when we talk about individuals that are in our country illegally who are committing serious crimes, what happens with a sanctuary state environment is that there's no cooperation between the local jurisdiction and the federal government. And so we've got, for instance, that probably the most glaring example is that we have folks that are here illegally and they're in jail. And the federal authorities cannot come to the jail and have them released so that they can be held accountable for their crime. So it's a real
hot issue. Yeah,
very hot. I know it's a hot issue, and that but from my view, it is a crime issue that we ought to be addressing. That what's really happening in a strange way is that if you're here illegally and you commit a heinous crime, you may not be held accountable, whereas a citizen committing the same crime would be. And we ought to have equal application of the law when it comes to, immigration certainly, but in particular issues where people are being are suspects in serious crimes.
Yeah. So, I mean, having California be a sanctuary state basically means that California has their own laws that don't necessarily coincide with federal laws. So the opposition of having this, which is the side that you're on, talk about the benefits of having California not be a sanctuary state and follow those. I mean, you touched on it a little bit, but.
Yeah, well, I think there would be cooperation. You'd be working with your federal government in terms of funding. So I know that there's money that's coming down from the federal government that's helping with local police departments and for public safety. And so there have been discussions that money would not flow to the state of California as a result of this law. And I think we're still looking at a scenario where this will be challenged in court, and I don't know what the timeline is for that, but I think you clearly have a constitutional issue where the state just simply doesn't have the authority, but they're claiming that they do.
So what are the chances of eliminating this sanction?
Well, I think it would take a court decision.
Okay.
So, and it would probably have to go to the Supreme Court. It'd probably be fought at the lower levels and end up in the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be? Is this going to be an ongoing battle? I would imagine. I mean, this is a real hot button between the parties, and more so than the other, than the other issues that we covered today. But, where does it go from here? Is it just going to be a complete battle the whole way? Do people that actually don't want the sanctuary state, do they actually have a chance?
I think it will be a continuing battle, mm-hmm. And I would think that if you just look at the authority of a state versus the authority of the federal government, that it's at least clear in my mind that that authority resides in the federal government, not with the state of California. So that will have to be proven in court, mm-hmm. and I don't know what the timeline is for that. What I do know is that we're having real issues with serious crime in the state of California, and it's increased by 30% is the latest number that I've heard. And we've got to figure out how to make sure that we're providing law and order in the state of California. And it's been a real challenge for the police departments and sheriff departments to make sure that they can provide the right level of service given all the challenges that are occurring. And so it's a tough situation.
You're listening to Money Matters on KVMR FM, carried on over about 65 other stations nationwide. I'm with Jen Ayala here in the studio, and we're speaking to Senator Ted Gaines. Senator, I saw on the ballot that you're moving into possibly a new position. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm running for the Board of Equalization, and that's coming up. It's on the June 5th ballot. And the Board of Equalization was set up a long time ago constitutionally in the California Constitution in the 1870s to make sure that taxes were being equally applied over county lines. And so there are a lot of property taxes that are collected that where you have infrastructure going across county lines, and it has some other authorities included within it. It audits county assessors. 25% of the state's county assessors get audited each year.
Mm-hmm.
Over a four-year cycle, every auditor in the state would be would be audited. It also has rulemaking authority over that, and so it plays a big role in the state in terms of taxation and how taxes are applied. And my position has always been to make sure that that Californians are just getting a fair shake, that mm-hmm. when they go through the process and they have a property tax-related issue, if it came to the Board of Equalization on an appeal, mm-hmm. that they would be fairly treated. And I think part of the challenges that we have in California is that we have these huge bureaucracies and people's rights get trampled, and we've got to make sure that that they're not. And I consider myself a taxpayer advocate. I want to make sure that people are not getting anything they shouldn't get, but they're just being treated fairly through the process. And so very excited about that election. It is the state of California is divided up into four districts for the BOE. So the district I'm running for is District 1. It goes from the Oregon border on the eastern side of California all the way down to San Bernardino. It's all or parts of 30 counties. So it's a big territory. Most folks don't know what the BOE does, but mm-hmm. I think it has a very important function, and we've got big challenges ahead of us in terms of an initiative that attacks Prop 13 that I'm very worried about. It's called Split Roll, mm-hmm. and what that would do is it would peel off all commercial property in the state, and it would not have the Prop 13 protection. It would be subject to annual assessment by the county assessors and annual increases in taxes, potentially, if those values are going up. So I really worry about that because we already live in a tough environment to do business in, and to provide additional costs. It's estimated that the amount of revenue raised as a result of split roll passing by the voters, it's an initiative, that there'd be another $11 billion that would go into the state treasury. Well, that money would be coming from you and me mm-hmm. if we're leasing, say I'm a business owner, I don't own a building, but I lease space. I have a triple net lease. That increased cost is going to flow to me as the renter, which I am in my small business, I rent. It's going to be passed out throughout the economy, whether it's a grocery store or any services that you would buy, because everybody's going to be paying more property tax.
Okay, Senator. Well, we wish you the best of luck in the upcoming election. It looks like we may see you actually next week when we do promo film down there. We'll see if that that actually happens. We'd like to tell our Would you like to tell us if there's anything else before I let you go, or your contact information?
Oh gosh, yes. If anybody has any questions about the BOE in particular, they could go to tedgaines.com, and there's all sorts of contact information there. If I'll just leave it at that. That's fine.
All right, Senator, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much. It was wonderful talking
to
you, Senator.
And we'll wish you the best of luck in the next election.
Oh, I appreciate it so much, very much. Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
thank
it,
you.
And yeah, take care.
Yep, you too. And you're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. Okay, then. We've talked to the senator. Thank you very much. And we're moving on with our Investing in Community series today. Tried to play a little interlude music, but looks like we got a little stuck there. It happens. You know, it's live radio. And so we'd like to welcome to the studio District Attorney candidate, Mr. Glenn Jennings. Glenn, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
My pleasure.
Okay. So we're going to be asking both candidates today the exact same questions. And so we have a lot of listeners that are going to be wondering who you are, what you stand for. So tell us, firstly, your experience as it relates to your qualifications to hold Nevada County District Attorney, basically your resume.
Sure. My name is Glenn Jennings. I'm running for District Attorney in Nevada County. I graduated from Santa Clara Law School. I've been a trial attorney for 30 years and a career prosecutor. I've tried well over 100 jury trials from murders on down. I retired in 2012. The current district attorney asked me to work for him. Part-time, I ran the Truckee office and got endorsed by the Truckee Police Officers Association, went from part-time to second-in-command, ran the Nevada City office, where I got endorsed by the Nevada County Deputy District Attorney and Public Defender's Office.
You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. I'm in the studio with Ms. Jen Ayala, and we're talking to a district attorney candidate, Mr. Glenn Jennings.
Mr. Jennings, that's a pretty impressive resume that you have. And I'm curious how you're going to apply that to district attorney. So what is your interpretation of the district attorney job?
The job of the district attorney is not to persecute, but to protect the innocent, as well as to prosecute the guilty, to see that truth and right prevail, to seek justice, not merely to convict. As a candidate for district attorney, it's my oath and promise that I'll restore not only the dignity and responsiveness to public concern of the DA's office, but also an ethical approach to ensuring community safety.
In a nutshell, what are the issues that you see are facing the office of the district attorney in the next term, and how do you plan to address those?
Sure, there's main two issues. Number one, the current district attorney won't prosecute a case. He's told numerous folks he's an administrator, hasn't prosecuted a case for 12 years. I prosecute the serious and violent offenders now in another county. I do jury trials. I'll lead by example. I'll take high-profile cases to trial. The second big issue is the extreme turnover rate of employees there. I've said this numerous times, but he's gone through 5 assistant DAs in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I'll stop that by gaining the respect of the individuals by actually trying cases and handling high-profile matters.
And you turn to Money Matters on your community radio station. Again, I'm speaking with candidate for district attorney in Nevada County, Mr. Glenn Jennings. I'm in the studios with Ms. Jen Ayala.
Mr. Jennings, what, in your opinion, better qualifies you for the position than your opponent?
Well, again, I'll lead by example. I'll actually try cases. When I was the assistant district attorney, a couple cases came across my desk. The first one was Mary Tassoni, who was brutally beaten in front of St. Patrick's Church. I immediately called the detective in charge, met him at the church, went over the crime scene, came back to the office, filed that case, signed it to myself. I want to make sure that guy got the maximum sentence. The second big case I did was the Arnaldi case. He was selling the fake gold to individuals here. Mm. He sold it to basically elderly folks who lost their life savings. I assigned that case to myself. When I was running the Truckee office, they had to bring me down to convene a criminal grand jury because nobody knew how to do that in the Nix Hollingshead murder case. So I had to leave the Truckee office, come down here, show them how to do that. So I've got the experience. I know what I'm doing. I can handle all these cases. They don't.
And we do have a little bit extra time, Mr. Jennings. So in two, three minutes, tell us what else you'd like our audiences to know about you, anything you'd like to add, and then we'll get some contact information from you.
Sure. It's basically the experience that matters. Again, the current district attorney doesn't prosecute cases, so when the police come to him, he can't evaluate a case. Mm-hmm. The prime example was when we had a debate in front of the Peace Lutheran Church. One of the questions was about SART nurses. That's a sexual response team nurse who does the examination, collects evidence. As an administrator, his answer was, there's the closest SART nurse is in Sacramento area. So if there's a sexual abuse or a rape victim, they have to go from here down to Sacramento. And he told the folks that there weren't enough rapes to afford a SART nurse in this area. My response was, I'll walk over to the hospital here and talk to every nurse until I find one that volunteers to be a SART nurse.
And for your contact information, the election is June 5th, is it?
Yes, that's
June 5th. And the mailers actually went out. And so are you looking for volunteer support? What can we do to help you in your bid for the position?
Well, we're always looking for support and help in any way, in any form. Basically, the main thing is for the vote. But you can always go to my website, jenningsforda.com. You can contact and go to my Facebook at that location and see the videos, numerous videos, and information that I have. Again, the endorsements, I think they speak a lot. The Truckee police officers, the Nevada County Deputy DA, and public defenders have all come together in one unified voice, basically crying out for change. And if you read their endorsements, they're asking for the public to listen to them and to create change in this particular office.
All right. Is there a phone number you'd like to give, Mr. Jennings?
Yes, there is. It's area code 530.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get the right number here.
No problem.
559-4732. Mm-hmm. That will get you to my manager, who happens to be my wife.
530-559-4732. Mr. Jennings, I want to thank you for appearing on Money Matters today, and we wish you the best of luck in the next election.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll be right back to talk to the Newell campaign.
Money!
All right, thank you.
Stop it!
And you tune to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cuniberti. I'm in the studio with Miss Jen Ayala. Thanks
Hello.
For joining me today, Jen.
Yep.
And we don't always talk about money on this particular show. We talk about investing in community. And with an election coming up, we have had a variety of candidates on the show. And today we have just finished speaking to Mr. Glenn Jennings, who is a candidate for the district attorney in Nevada County. And today we have from the Newell camp, Cliff Newell's camp, the assistant district attorney, Mr. Chris Walsh. Good
thanks.
Afternoon.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Okay. So every candidate's campaign gets asked the same questions and same amount of time frame. So tell us about Cliff Newell's experience as it relates to the qualifications to hold the office of the Nevada County District Attorney.
Certainly. Well, first of all, he has kind of a broad background when it comes to his general life experience. He was both a business owner. He was a probation officer for a time period, kind of involved on the other side of justice. And he also was a deputy district attorney for a time period. But most importantly, he's been the elected district attorney for the past 12 years. Mm-hmm. And when you focus on that, that's what really qualifies him for this position. He's able to run on his track record. The old adage, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, comes into play. Nevada County happens to be one of the safest counties in the state of California to live. And that doesn't happen by accident. We prosecute tough cases. We get good results on the big cases. And we have a good team that Cliff Newell has built during his tenure there at the district attorney's office.
So, Mr. Chris Walsh, thank you so much again for coming and talking with us. What is your guys' interpretation of the DA job description?
Sure. Everyone has different styles. I think the best thing that comes into play as far as the chief elected district attorney for the county, which is what Cliff Newell is a leader. And really when it boils down to it, it's leadership. And that comes into play both as kind of the coach of a team within the district attorney's office, as well as just being a leader out in the community among law enforcement, bridging gaps and building relationships with the other justice partners, and also just working out collaborative type solutions to issues that are involved in our criminal justice system.
You're tuned in to Money Matters on your community radio station. I'm your host, Mark Cuniberti, and I am with Miss Jen Ayala. We are speaking to the Cliff Newell District Attorney camp, and we are speaking in the studio with the Assistant District Attorney, Mr. Chris Walsh. So, Mr. Walsh, what are the issues from your side of the camp that are facing the DA in the next term, and how will the Newell camp address that?
Sure. So the biggest issues from our perspective are just modernizing the DA's office in 2018. You know, law is kind of a very old profession, and sometimes it can be the last to kind of get on board with some modern technology. But that's something that Cliff Newell has been very much on the cutting edge of. Something he's in the process of doing right now is to integrate a new case management software program that will essentially allow prosecutors to go to court with a laptop and have a law library and all of the information they need about a case right at their fingertips. In addition, there's been a lot of changes to the law in the last several years. And a big challenge from the district attorney's office standpoint is to adjust to those changes in the law and to really get smart on crime, to figure out which cases we need to go after bad guys really tough on and hammer them, and other solutions as well, working with collaborative courts, drug court, mental health court, and seeing other type solutions to crimes. The other thing that's always a challenge in a medium type size county like this is to retain, train, and have the best staff available that you can as a part of your team.
Okay, you're listening to Money Matters. Once again, we're with Assistant District Attorney Chris Walsh here in Nevada County. I'm with Miss Jen Ayala in the studio.
Chris, What, in your opinion, better qualifies Chris Newell for the position rather than his opponent?
So it's Cliff Newell, but I call you out on that because a lot of people do that, because it's me, Chris Walsh, Cliff.
You're here.
Chris Newell yeah. is his son, just yeah. so there's no confusion. This one's easy for me because I have a unique perspective as being the current assistant district attorney. I work directly with Cliff Newell on a daily basis. And his opponent, you know, Glenn Jennings, used to be the assistant district attorney. The key distinction between the two people really comes down to leadership. Cliff Newell is a natural-born leader. He, for being a leader, is extremely humble and open-minded. When he decides what kind of decision to make on a case, he tries to get as many different perspectives and opinions as possible. There's something that's known within the district attorney's office. You know, I've been a career prosecutor. I've worked in many different offices. Not every decent trial lawyer makes a good leader. Not every good trial lawyer makes a good elected district attorney. There are different type roles. To use kind of a sports analogy, just because someone might be a good wide receiver doesn't mean that they would make a good head coach. And you see a lot of sports teams, you know, someone could be a great wide receiver for the New England Patriots. That doesn't mean they could do a better job than Bill Belichick does in coaching. Mm-hmm. Cliff Newell is a great coach. He's a team player. He works with his team. He's involved in every prosecution in that office, and he makes sure that his people on the front lines has the resources they need to get the job done.
And we're live in the studio here with Assistant District Attorney Mr. Chris Walsh for the Cliff Newell campaign. So as I'd offered, Mr. Jennings, we have a little bit extra time. So basically take a few minutes and tell us what else you'd like to inform our listening audience as to qualifications or whatever you'd like to talk about. And we'll ask your contact information at the end.
Sure. You know, there's a lot of stuff that gets put out there when there's a political election going on. Mm-hmm. I want people to know inside your district attorney's office, there's great work that's being done every single day. There's hardworking professionals that work together as a team to prosecute bad guys and to make sure that there's justice that's brought to victims. It's really important to have a leader of the district attorney's office, of someone who's a humble and fair leader, not someone who gets boiled down in petty controversies and puts their own ego ahead of the team purpose. Be an informed voter. I encourage voters to go to cliffnewell.com. Cliffnewell.com, there's a bunch of information about the candidates out there. Mm-hmm. Don't believe every talking point that you hear out there. Do your research and be an informed voter.
Okay. I am Mark Cuniverti at Money Matters on your community radio station with Ms. John Ayala. We're with Assistant District Attorney, Mr. Chris Walsh. Chris, contact information, website, phone number?
Yeah, cliffnewell.com. I'd encourage everyone to go to www.cliffnewell.com, and mm-hmm. it's got all the contact information. Something about Cliff Newell, he's not too big to return your phone calls. If you call him, and his phone number's on that website, cliffnewell.com, he'll get back to you.
Do you have the phone number?
It's on the website.
Ah, gotcha. We do that here.
Thank you.
Okay, so thanks for joining us this afternoon. We wish you the best in the next election. We'll be right back on your community radio station, Money Matters. And you're tuned to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name is Mark Cuniberti.
I'm Jen Ayala.
So, Jen, that was, I guess, a very packed full show. So, first of all, Senator Ted Gaines, what do you think? Real hot button issues here.
Yeah, some really hot. I mean, the easy things to talk about are obviously that the gas bill. Some of the interesting things about that is how unapplicable it is to our county because, you know, it's talking about putting that money towards railways and stuff. I mean, we don't have any of that over here. And, yeah, driving long distances, everybody's living really rural. So it's pretty unapplicable. What do you think about it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I pay a lot of taxes. So my dad always said, well, you pay a lot of taxes because, you know, it's always good because you make money. But it's tough. I mean, you know, you and I, I'm sure, are not driving around in, you know, million-dollar cars and smoking big cigars. But I don't know. Do you find it hard to make a living paycheck to paycheck?
I mean, I feel like I'm fortunate that I don't, but I'm not going to lie. I definitely don't like going to the gas pump.
Yeah. And the other thing is the 529. You don't have children yet, but the 529 is when we can open up a college account for a kid. You have a baby and you open up a college account. And you put money in, and right now you can't really deduct the money you put in. But if it grows, let's say you put in 100 grand, it grows to 150. When you take it back out, you don't pay any tax on the amount that it grew. And so that helps. But, you know, with the price of college, you're going to find out eventually when your kids go.
Well, I found out when I was going to college.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's probably about five times more for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we had sanctuary state, so that was kind of a hot button.
Super hot.
We are a sanctuary state, aren't we?
I think we are.
Yeah, we are. And then I guess they're trying to eliminate that. And anytime you see any sort of bannering on Facebook or any of the social media, they're always arguing between the two. And 529, what else was there? That was pretty much it, right? College savings, income tax cuts. Are you in favor of more taxes or less taxes? What do you think?
You know, I mean, obviously less taxes are better for the individual when it comes to keeping on your money and, you know, daily life. But on the other hand, if it's going towards something that's going to make your life better, you got to see the big picture in it. Okay. So it really is a give and take, a push and pull.
And then, of course, I could tell between the district attorneys, that's a little heated debate there is.
There is. And you know what I thought was really interesting is both of them said that experience is key, and both of them have a lot of experience.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen some stuff in the Union, which is our local paper here, about how the debates between those two have been quite spirited, I guess you would say.
Yeah, maybe that's why we didn't have a live debate, huh?
Yeah, that's right. No. We've actually had the sheriff here and then sheriff candidates and then district attorneys. I don't really want to get into a debate. You know, that's why we have them back to back. Okay, so you're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we will wrap up the show. To Money Matters on your community radio station. I'm here with Miss Jen Ayala.
Afternoon.
So we're going to wrap up. This has been edition number 270, a senator and a district attorney. We talked to Senator Ted Gaines in Sacramento Capitol today, and also with
district attorney nominee Glenn Jennings, and also district attorney, the assistant to district attorney Cliff Newell. I got that wrong earlier today.
We talked to Chris Walsh, right.
And he is the assistant of DA Cliff Newell.
Correct. There we go. Okay. So, please remember discussions in this show should not be construed as investment advice or specific recommendations, although we didn't talk really about any financing today. Always consult with your investment professional before making any investment decisions. And do your own research before investing. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only and the opinions of those that were in the studio today, including Mr. Chris Walsh, Ted Gaines by telephone, Senator Ted Gaines, Ms. Jen Ayala, and, of course, Mr. Glenn Jennings. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge. This station is staff members or underwriters. Flea market's coming up. Thanks for joining us, Jen. Thanks for being in the studio with me today.
Yep, my pleasure, everybody. Have a beautiful day.
Have a beautiful day. We'll be back next 2 weeks. Bye.
Mark.
You get a good job with your pain, you're okay.
Money!